You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, 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 and after much too long, welcome back to Fly on the Call. I appreciate all the messages of understanding and support I got when I announced my unexpected hiatus, and I'm so fucking happy to be back. Today's guest is Elise Falturo, who's been releasing consistently great bedroom emo pop under the name Pronoun for the last 5 years. The current pinnacle of this is her most recent EP, Oh My God I Made It, which brings her signature lush sound to new heights. I've been calling it bedroom 80s arena rock, because that's how huge it sounds. With song titles like, I Wanna Die But I Can't, Cause I Gotta Keep Living, and lyrics like, Cause I'm Broken All the Time, Yeah Half the Time I'm Feeling Fine, it will get you dancing while leaving you saying, damn, same. We're talking all about the EP, the process, the feelings, and more, and what I think is a really great comeback episode. And don't you fret, there's plenty more Fly on the Call coming your way. To make up for my absence and celebrate the show as we head towards the 2-year anniversary, I'm going to be releasing a new episode every weekday for the next 2 weeks, leading up to episode 100 with a brand new theme song that I'm so excited to share. Fly on the Call isn't going anywhere, and neither should you, so stick around for my conversation with Pronoun.
There's like that, an obvious outward change between everything that came before and OMG I Made It, with the switch from, you know, all lowercase little p to all caps Pronoun.
Yeah.
What kind of brought about that change?
I think it was just like a funny thing where I saw everyone was using it all lowercase. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to go all uppercase then and do that. And then I don't know, like a lot of my stuff just starts out with an idea like that, even like album titles and stuff. Like I'll Show You Stronger was like me just like sillily, if that's even a word, like yelling it at a friend. And then I was like, oh, hey, that could be a cool album title. And when I was like, you know what, I'm going all uppercase, I was like, actually, that's pretty fitting for like the record and stuff. So yeah, and now that it's happened, I'm like, oh, this is so right. I'm glad that this all worked out so well. Very lucky.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also interesting to me that the title of the EP is OMG I Made It, but because you've basically been a solo artist your entire career, so like,
right,
things in the last, you know, year and a half haven't changed as much for you as they have for some of your peers. I'm curious, like, kind of how things have changed for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty drastic. Like, I mean, the same ways that everyone's been kind of changed, where it's like, yeah, there is no normal life anymore, or what you associated as normal life anymore. I mean, for me, I live in Brooklyn, and I was going out like probably too much, honestly. But I would go out like every night, whether I would go to probably shows like 4 times a week, maybe 5. You know, I work by day at the Orchard as a label manager, so like, you know, I'm always going into an office and meetings with people on phone calls. Like, you know, our company has like probably 400 people now in the New York office. So, you know, being constantly surrounded by people and energy and what everyone's doing. And then, you know, overnight, literally, at least in New York, overnight, like it all stopped. Like we left March 12th, half day. They were like, actually, I think everyone should go home, and starting the following Monday, we're not going to go to the office for 2 weeks, and I haven't been back. You know, it's been as most people haven't. So that's been a huge, huge change. And I think there's different phases of it for everybody. Like, I mean, I was on Cape Cod for the first 3 months at my dad's, which was nice, but you know, looking back, it felt more like a vacation. And then all of a sudden it started being like, no, this is real life. Like, you know, the new things start getting boring and or annoying, and you're like, I don't like working from home. So I guess good changes. I moved still in Brooklyn, but I moved in with my sister, which has been great. And I have an apartment I love. We have a little backyard area that we can have friends over in. So that's been nice. But yeah, I guess just that and, you know, not being able to play shows and see live music as much as I mean, at all. And, you know, when it was something that was so much a part of my life, was just literally like the grind and hustle of New York, which like I miss, but I feel like now that things are going back to normal, it's like, all right, let's do things a little differently. Like you shouldn't feel like running on empty, like just running around like work, show, like bar, like staying up till 2 a.m. making music and like doing it all over again. Like, you know, maybe you do take a step back and take time to yourself and maybe do watch some television every once in a while. I never ever would watch television. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess that's the roundabout perhaps.
And like that kind of that all like sudden vacuum of like, you know, musical experiences, how did that kind of, you know, affect the writing process for OMG I Made It?
Well, it's called Oh My God I Made It, but now I realize that it looks like OMG I Made It, but I still like that it's just the syllable or the letters. I mean, not too much. Like I actually wrote the two singles that are out now, I Want to Die What I Can't and I'm Right Back in It. I wrote those before the quarantine. And I think I was probably aiming to make another album. So this had already been kind of finished. Like I'm Right Back in It was already getting mixed and it was just to have stuff to have. We were supposed to play some shows literally the night this all shut down with Future Teens and Proper.
I know. What an amazing lineup.
I know. Literally we were in the car. Driving to Jersey and Amy from Future Teens called me and was like, the sound guy says this isn't happening. And I was like, that sounds about right. Like I'm in New York right now and everyone's on fire. So, but I digress. Yeah. So I was going to play those songs live as well. Not much has changed, I guess, in my writing process for the most part, because I do it alone all the time, I guess, you know. If anything, I feel like I'm writing a little less these days, because the last thing I want to do when I'm like sitting in my apartment all day working my day job is like move into my room and like try to make something. And I'm also very inspired by what's going on outside, like going out and seeing people and seeing artists and like being, you know, out and about in New York City and Brooklyn, like really inspires me in a lot of ways. That's been a little tough, but yeah, every once in a while, like half of the time I wrote on Cape Cod, that was the first song I wrote in quarantine. But that was still like not really even about what was going on. It was just like I was creating another song and I heard a new song that inspired me and I wanted to make something. And the other two I wrote in Brooklyn also, but I feel like, maybe it did have a lot to do with it, because maybe, you know, I had time to really sit down and start dissecting myself and what I was unhappy about like internally, or like at least like be more conscious of those thoughts because I had the time. But that's definitely an afterthought that we're having in this conversation. Like I didn't really realize that until this opened up. So yeah.
Yeah. That's funny what you said about kind of like drawing in a lot from the external experiences. Cause I feel like for a while I'm like, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, it's like, there's kind of like a stereotype of like, oh, band's second or third album is like their tour album, you know, all about touring. And like, don't really have the option to have that right now.
Right. Exactly.
I feel like there's been like a handful of times I've seen you kind of like mix between poking fun at yourself and taking pride in the fact that some of your songs are like kind of musically more simple, like, you know, one or two chords even. I'm curious kind of like what your process is like for building the kind of like lush sounds that you do, because I feel like that's such an important part of the music as well.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I think most of it, I do a lot of looping. Because I wouldn't like consider myself like an instrumentalist, a singer. Like I don't really consider myself a producer, like any of these things. But again, like now looking back, it's like, well, you kind of are, because you're literally making this all by yourself in your room. So like, but like, you know, when I'm recording parts and coming up with ideas too, it's like I do a lot of looping because I make a lot of mistakes and I'm impatient and I work really quickly. So I feel like a lot of the songs end up with this kind of baseline of like the same thing, like because I'm just looping every four bars or whatever, and then I'm just adding things on top of it, which is kind of how when I first started recording like there's no one new around you. My first EP, like that was the first, like my first experience, like really like making music again. I hadn't for a really long time. And I would just layer. I thought I didn't know what I was doing. I don't think anyone knows what they're doing, but I would just keep layering and layering and layering. So I do it with my vocals. I do it with my guitars until I liked how they sounded, because maybe I was insecure about them, I guess, or I don't even know if I got that far. I think I was just like, I want to make this right now. I don't like that. I'm just going to put something on top of it until I'm like, I like how this sounds. But now I think it's carried through to all the other music that I've been making. But yeah, I mean, I do remember when I was making I Want to Die, But I Can't, I played this one chord and I looped it and copied and pasted it forever. I usually just like be like repeat 100 bars, just to like have something there. And then I go through when I'm writing a bridge or writing a chorus or whatever and like change from there. I'm like, okay, where do I want it to go now? And I think I had everything for I Want to Die and didn't know what to do with guitar. And I looped this guitar chord and I was like, I'm just leaving this. Like, this is going to be one chord. And I guess it's technically not one chord because like the bass line is changing and stuff. But, like when I'm playing that live, I'm literally just going to be vamping on one chord, like a bar chord, the entire time. So yeah, I feel like there's a lot of like progressions that I feel like the entire EP is pretty much the same chords. Like I was doing like broken down versions, like acoustic versions, just to like have stuff to post. And yeah, like going through them all because I haven't played them live, I was like, oh, these are like pretty much all the same. Like the exact, I must really like this progression.
And I mean, I feel like something that kind of especially stands out on this release to me is kind of like the rhythm in your voice. I feel like it's, you know, very rhythmic in the way that it's like almost, you know, an extra instrumental track in a way, in addition to its own thing. I'm curious how that kind of like became part of your style.
That's a good point. I mean, I always kind of think back to, I think a lot of the artists that I have liked for a long time are like Third Eye Blind or something like the 1975. They're always, I think I've always been like drawn to vocalists that use their voice in a very rhythmic way. And I guess that's also why I like would, like you said, like you can consider it another instrument. Like I don't really consider what I'm doing and it's like singing. Like I'm never scared about singing or being like, oh, what if I don't hit this note? Like I think I'm just so focused on like, I'm playing guitar left. Like I hope I don't mess up the guitar, that I don't have time to get to the voice. But that would be like my only guess is like a lot of my influences, my entire life kind of have that in them, I guess. And like use that as an additional instrument more so than just like singing on top of something.
For sure. Yeah. It always, as a fan, it always makes it feel so good when it's like, there's like that crazy fast delivery and then it's like, you're singing it along and get it all the way right the whole time. And it's like, hell yeah, I nailed it. And then also, I mean, this is kind of like, I feel like the sound is kind of bigger than, you know, all of the past pronoun stuff. And almost kind of like pushing the boundaries of bedroom pop. I'm curious, like, what is that kind of drive for you to continuously like be kind of like pushing your sound?
I don't know. I think like I'm mostly just like walking through. I feel like most of my music is I make for myself to make myself feel better, I think. So like it kind of progresses through like what I'm going through at the time. Like I feel like There's No One New Around You was very like, this is my first EP, first time like really making music, and I'm very, very sad. Like I'm sad, I feel hopeful, but you know, I went through a bad breakup, I'm heartbroken, but I know that it's gonna be okay. And you know, I kind of just have to talk this through, and it's mostly like me talking myself through it, I think. And then when you get to I'll Show You Stronger, it's like, now I'm like, that's when I started getting angry. It's like, you know, after that phase of like, when, and then being like, wait a second, this was messed up, I didn't even think about this part. And you kind of not obsess over that, but you just start being like, you know, seeing things without that cloud of sadness, you can kind of start seeing things that might make you angry, or at least did for me. So I feel like that's when I kind of brought it more into like a more alternative realm and less like bedroomy, like indie rock kind of thing. And I don't really know how I ended up to where I am now, honestly. I haven't even like thought about it, but I do think it sounds bigger. I think it sounds Which is crazy too, because like we, like I recorded it all here in my bedroom, and some of, I think four of the tracks have live drums, and like my drummer Chris like recorded it like in a garage in LA, you know, like, and there's a couple of songs like that have some cool bass lines that I had my bassist Ronnie come in and actually do correctly, because I can't, like I like coming up with things, but I'm like, I can't play this the way I want it to sound. And I have like a simple idea where like he can kind of take it somewhere else. But yeah, and then he's just recording it in his bedroom, like in a DI and stuff. And it's really cool how it came out, because I feel like it sounds like it didn't, but I also think that's what makes it, it will hopefully make it like stand out. And like something you can't really put your finger on, but really it's like, oh, you like try to make like a bigger arena type sound in a bedroom. Like it's always gonna sound different, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it definitely sounds like that's, you know, the process of this EP is something that you wouldn't have been able to do like when the first EP came out or something. I'm curious, like what are some of the major kind of like changes in your workflow that you've noticed, you know, from release to release that have kind of like led to the workflow being the way it is now?
Honestly, nothing, which kind of sucks. Like when I get in the zone, but like, I feel like every time I've been finishing music, I've been lucky enough to have a label that's interested in, that loves it and is like interested in releasing it, to help me get to those final stages where they're like, okay, like, well, then I need the files by this day. And it's like, oh, okay. Like I will carve out, like that happened with this EP where I was like, all right, I'm taking a week off work and I'm going to, and that will be it. And I'm going to finish it. And if I don't like how it sounds, like too bad, because you've been working on it for a year, like passively working on it for a year. It's like, I've probably been working on it for like 2 weeks total. And it's just like me, like 2 hours, like once a month, like being like drunk, like, oh, I'll go like do this again. It's like, no, like, and if you're not happy with it, then you should have been more disciplined. So, but I do find also when I like finish things, I'm like, look, that was so easy. Like, you know what? Next time it will be different. And then it just never is. Like, it's like always the same. Like, this is never done, but also like not the obsessiveness I feel like of other artists where it's like, you're just constantly working on it. Like, oh no, it needs something else. And it's like, no, step away. It's done. It's like, I'm like the opposite. I'm like, I don't feel like doing this anymore. I feel like the moment I start making it, it's like, there's like 5 hours where it all comes together and then it's done. Like I will go listen back to it and re-record some parts, but like for the most parts it's done. And I have a lot of songs that I've started that like I've been in that moment and then have never finished because I'm like, I don't know what to write. Like I was so in the moment, I don't know how to get back to that moment where I was writing this or whatever. And it's kind of like, I guess I'll wait until I am and be like, oh wait, yes, this would be good here, and come back to it. So yeah, and I also think like at least recording myself, like the more you like, literally it's like practicing, it's like the more you do it, the more comfortable you are around it. And when I take breaks where I don't do it for a while, it's like I have to not relearn. It's just like not everything is like go go go, like I can create things really quickly. It's like, oh right, like I have to make a track for this or whatever. Most of the times I open Pro Tools when I'm like, that's it, I know what I want to do, sit down and do it, my Pro Tools won't work. It's like classic. Like I'm sure it happens to everyone, but like every time it's just like some glitchy thing where the app won't open or the output's wrong or everything looks right, nothing's coming through the speakers. And yeah.
Yeah, I definitely can relate to what you're saying. Like shouts to the people who can give like concrete goals that are reasonable and get you to meet them.
Exactly. It's always like vinyl deadlines, or you know what? It used to be tours. Ah. Like it used to be like, I wrote out the EP for like 2 years and yeah, actually it's always been before this like show opportunities where like I had the EP, kind of started slowing down. I got a booking agent and we did some cool gigs, like not full on tours. And then I booked a tour to South By and I realized I don't have any new music out. Like I'm going to go, I already played South By. I played South By with this EP. What do you mean you're going again? Like you're going to play the same songs again? And that's what helped me finish Run, which is the first single off the album, where I was like, I need to put something new out. I loved the song, but I was like, I think no one's going to like this. I think I'm shooting myself in the foot, but it's the song that's closest to done. And like, we have to finish something. And then, yeah. And then when like touring opportunities start running out, it's like, okay, like let's get it together. Cause I love playing and I love going out and doing that. And, you know, it's a competitive space. It's like, I can't, like, there's only so long where if you don't have any new music out, like, that someone's gonna be like, oh yeah, let's bring them out, you know? And for the listeners, obviously, too, I just like want it to be like really good. So I like, on the, like, fan wise, I'm like, I'd rather just like wait and like make it something I'm proud of. But also, it's good to have those external things that like help you finish it. And yeah, I guess it's not self-discipline because it's external, but like help you get it done.
For sure. Yeah. And I feel like, yeah, this whole EP, but, you know, especially songs like I Want to Die But I Can't and Half the Time, they're kind of like sound like this dreamy existential crisis set to music.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about kind of like your headspace when writing and recording it versus like kind of how you view the songs now?
Yeah, I think like, well, the biggest difference, I guess, is, I mean, I made these to like calm myself down when I am like beating myself up. And it was like, oh, this will be good. Like, I can listen to this when I'm feeling that way and it will make me feel better. But yeah, now that they're done and it's like they're coming out, I'm like, I never do that. Like, and I'm like, I like don't like listen to myself. I like listening to the songs, but like I forget like to listen to the lyrics and stuff and like where, like go back to where I was when I was making it. So that's been interesting. And you going back and like trying to like talk about what the tracks are about. It's like, I almost feel like that, like the lyrics are like what the songs, literally what the songs are about for the most part. Like, I don't know what else to say on top of it, but yeah, like I had to do one for Half of the Time yesterday, and I was, it took me a second to be like, what is this about? Like, there's so much in it, but I feel like the whole EP is kind of about the same thing. And it's Half of the Time, I'm like, that's about how, like, when you're in a bad place, you like forget you were ever in a good place. Like, you forget that half the time you're feeling okay. I don't know, a lot of it's like kind of some back and forth of like I'm right back in it where it's like it starts off being like, yo, calm down, and the chorus is like, no, and then it's like, no, come on, calm down, and then no, I don't want to calm down. And yeah, I don't know, it's definitely interesting. I hope people like it.
And I'm like, what do you hope that people kind of like get out of it? Like, do you hope that they have that kind of that experience that you want to have out of it, ideally for yourself, where they're like kind of able to listen to it and, you know, feel more in the zone?
Yeah, I definitely want I want people to just listen to it and enjoy it, hopefully. But then also, because I don't want to say I want people to be able to relate, because it's not a fun feeling. You know, like being anxious, like wanting to die and like feeling like you can't because you have to keep, you know, like all these things. I'm like, well, I don't want people to feel that way, but I hope that the people that are out there that might feel that way, like can hear it and be like, I'm not the only one, you know, or be like, this perfectly encapsulates it. And also if not, it's like, you can just listen to the songs because they're very upbeat and dancing. Like, I feel like sometimes I send them to people and people are like, oh my God, this is so fun. And I'm like, oh, like you're literally just like just vibing. You're not really like listening closely in on the lyrics and stuff, and everyone listens to music differently.
Yeah, it's funny you said that, because one of the things that I have written down is kind of like that I love the cognitive dissonance of like the dark lyrics versus, you know, kind of more lush and bright sounds.
Right.
What is it that kind of like draws you in that direction?
I don't know. Again, I think it might just be like a lot of the bands that I like listening to. Like, I mostly like listening to upbeat, like music, syncopated, like rhythmic pop, like stuff for the most part. And also like people that I listen to that I'm like, oh, you're in it. And like, you're being honest and you sound like a real person. But I don't really know how it all gets, it ends up that, I think also because when I'm making it, I'm really amped. Because I'm like, oh, I have an idea and I'm really excited and I'm working really fast. And I think it's just like that energy, and I guess also like anxiety, where it's just like, oh, go, go, go. And like, I want to have fun while I'm making it, rather than like, I guess also like when I'm making it, I'm usually like addressing sad thoughts. So I'm like, I don't want to sit and like just play sad guitar and listen to like my sad guitar. Like, I want to like have fun with it, I suppose.
For sure. And how does that that kind of spark of inspiration, how does that translate to like the live show?
Ooh, I can't even remember live shows.
fair.
Live shows are hard for me because I play, it's just the three of us. It's a drummer and a bassist, and I'm playing guitar and singing. And as you can probably guess, like, it's hard to get it to translate live in ways with vocally because it's so fast. Like when I go to go learn the songs for the first time, like some of them are like, hey, I can't actually sing this. Like I can't sing all of it. Like there's no space to breathe. Like I never record my songs and like do a whole vocal take of the whole song. It's usually like I go verse, then I record chorus vocals or whatever. And it's not till after the fact where I'm trying to put together a live show that I'm like, you can't actually do this. Like, you're going to have to sit down with Ronnie, my bassist. Well, like, he's not a vocalist. Like, he'll do like stuff in the background and like late, like, you know, double me and stuff. But I think that's hard. And then also like my anxiety about like playing, being the only guitarist, because I don't consider myself a guitarist. Like that was a rough one. And it's the past tours we've done always like a hard thing for me to get past. Cause I'm always just like, what if I mess up? Like I'm the oldie one and like, I can't really bury it anywhere. And also like I am singing and playing guitar and like dancing around on a bunch of pedals, which I'm like, I don't even know what pedals do. Like, and so it's like, I got to hit this one here, but then I have to turn the boost off on this one at this exact time where I'm like cutting off a solo and then have to do my vulnerable vocal thing. And it's like, it's literally like, I don't know, like Dance Dance Revolution, like, but all, everywhere, it's like with your fingers and your feet and your voice, which I probably sound ridiculous, where it's like, literally you play guitar and sing, like, that's what people do. Like people do it all the time live. Like, but it's definitely like it's interesting for me for sure. The guys are so solid. Like we all went to school together and they're amazing, amazing, amazing players, play with like tons of bands here and in California and stuff. So they're like the rocks, like that help me like be like, all right, that's fine. I don't have to worry about that. All I have to worry about is what I have to do.
Yeah, that's definitely a little bit of a weight off your shoulders.
Yeah, like even some of the new tracks, I'm like, oh, and then I can like do this dance thing. Or Sound the Alarms, I was like, oh, I'll get a megaphone and I'll do the Sound of the Alarm thing, have fun. And it's like, no, you're playing guitar. What are you gonna do? Like put the guitar down, pick up a megaphone, do this part quickly, then put the microphone down, like pick up the guitar and like do a solo. Like that's impossible. So I think it's definitely interesting, but it's fun to figure out how to make it work. And like once it gets like locked in and stuff, it's great. Cause then, you know, and the more I do it too, like the more I know it will get there. Whereas before I'm like, I'll never be able to do this. And then I'll be playing like a song that was really hard for me at the beginning and be like, no, you can do this with your eyes closed now. Like, it'll be fine. You just have to like practice and like take some L's every once in a while and fuck up. Oh, I don't know if I can swear. Sorry.
No, you're good. Okay. Yeah, it definitely goes back to those concrete goals.
Exactly.
Nice. And I know you mentioned a couple of times, you know, your work within the music industry, you know, at the Orchards and through Sleepwell Records. And I'm just curious kind of like how that influences your work as Pronoun, or if you kind of try to keep those two more separate.
Actually, it's funny you bring that up too, because I forgot that a lot of the frustrations in this EP, I think, was also feeding from frustrations in the music industry, which I literally just forgot until you said that. And I think I have a lot of songs about that too, where I was just very unhappy with, you know, everything is constantly changing, but, you know, feeling like seeing amazing artists like not be able to break through, or seeing things randomly explode. And then on top of it, it's like streaming companies aren't paying that much to like, everyone's looking for a data story or your social following. And like it, at some points, like earlier on, it was like making me feel like, what the hell? Like I thought, like, where's like, are people even listening to the music? Like, and I think I've like, not I guess overcome, but like, I think I'm a lot more comfortable with it now. And I think being working from home and having the world closed for a second and kind of feel closer to my coworkers than ever. I really miss them, but like, I feel like us all going through the same thing together and like watching each other just still absolutely kill it, like while we're all in this weird place, has been like super inspiring. So yeah, but it's difficult like wearing both and many hats, but it, you know, the longer I do it, like the more, the easier it gets. And like the more, you know, understanding I can be, that's like, you know what, you can do everything right and no one can hear it. Like, and that's just, that's how art works. Like, unfortunately, like there were so many bands in the 90s before the internet existed that you've never heard of, like they couldn't make a career. It's been happening forever to art in general. It's always like, and unfortunately, obviously, but I think like being able to take that step back and like, and being in it for longer, you know, I've worked at the Orchard for 7 years. It's been longer than I even had Pronoun. I feel extremely fortunate that I get to be like at the forefront of any change that ends up happening and watching things evolve. And that can be inspiring in a new way. I think I just went through a rough patch too, where I was just frustrated and angry and I wanted to yell about it.
Yeah, it's definitely like you were saying about those, about bands kind of like not being able to find, just not finding the audience no matter what they do, right? It's like, it's a lot, definitely a lot easier nowadays. Like if there is a niche that's gonna be into you, you'll have an easier time finding it, but it is definitely still, it feels like screaming into the void a lot of the time for sure.
Exactly. It's like streaming services aren't paying well enough, but then also like, I know that, I don't know a percentage, I would say 50%, maybe more, a lot of them discovered it through like a Discover Weekly or some sort of thing, you know? And like, it's important, but it gets scary too, like where it's like, hopefully it doesn't go too far into devaluing the music. But I think like the tools and stuff and being able to like, I guess I also always thought of like artists being like, you make the art and then you give it off to the other people and like they help make it happen. You don't have to worry about that. Which can be great. And then, but in some places be really horrible where it's like, you know, what if you get dropped from your label? You have no idea what you're doing. You haven't been that involved. And before like all this technology has arrived, like there wasn't really anything you could do. Like now you can go into your Spotify for Artists, you can go into Apple for Artists. There's a bunch of artist tools and like actually see like, where are people listening and what are they listening from and how many playlists have like you can see in Spotify for Artists, like the names of like people's playlists that they just add your songs to. There's some really hilarious ones, you know, you can see all these things now, and you are in more control. But I feel like it's very much like you build it and people come, and building it is hard and risky and very expensive for the most part, you know, and has zero guarantee remotely making your money back, you know, which again, and that maybe shouldn't be the focus anyway, because it's like, no, I just want to make music. I want to make art. I want people to hear it. But you know, at the same time, it gets old. Like I'm fortunate enough, like I have this day job that I enjoy and like have had for 7 years. That's like an irrelevant thing that I find interesting. But yeah, what a nightmare. It's kind of all over the place. I have a lot of opinions on it.
No, you're good. You're good. And I feel like that segues pretty well into my, what's always my final question, which is just asking for a piece of advice or something you've been thinking about. Could be music related or it could be life, philosophy, whatever kind of has been on your mind that you want to share.
Oy, I don't even know. I guess, yeah, going easy on yourself and being patient, like, and I don't know, I feel like I'm at a point in my career, you know, I went to a music school and I'm watching, you know, all my friends we're starting to get into our late 20s, early 30s, and kind of, you know, realizing like life did not pan out the way we thought at all. Like, you know, and some things are great and some things aren't where you want them to be in your personal life and stuff. And I think being patient with that, like I have a very hard time like taking myself out. Like I'm prone, as it even says, I think in my EP, is like, I'm just like prone to like beating myself up, like being like, you are worthless and like, you aren't talented. And it's like imposter syndrome, which I feel like everyone has, but when you're in it and when you're thinking it, like no one has it but you. And like, I think being able to, I've been trying to take myself out of it to see the good things that are going on and that are around me, which is hard, and like you have to like actually make an effort to do it.
Ah, feels so good to say it again, but we did it. Another super fun episode discussing some of my favorite music is in the bag. Thanks so much to Elise for taking the time to talk. Be sure to check out Pronoun and Oh My God I Made It, which is without a doubt one of my top few releases of this year. It's out now on Wax Bodega, who are also killing it lately. I've missed y'all so much, and I can't wait to check back in with you tomorrow.
Fly on the Call is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. Special thank you, as always, to the Alternative for helping promote the show, Kaylin West of Tiny Stills for the theme song, and Michaela Jane for the artwork. You can keep up to date by subscribing to the podcast and following the show on Twitter and Instagram at FlyOnTheCallPod. Feel free to email any questions, comments, or other feedback to me at FlyOnTheCallPod@gmail.com. It's good to be back.
I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real, honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.